I get rock for my kids. Is that real? We still hustle till the sun come up. Crack a 40 when the sun go down. It's a cold winter. Y'all better bundle up. And I better be a hotter summer. Grab my onion just to rock it down. You hot now, listen up. Don't you know cops' sole purpose is to lock us down and throw away the key. But without this drug, your kids ain't got no way to eat, huh? We still try to keep mom smiling. Cause when the teeth stop showing and the stomach start growling, then the heat start blowing. If you're from the hood, I know you feel me. If a sneak start leaning and the heat stop working, then my heat start working. I'ma rob me a person. Catch a sleeping while he out in the open. And I'ma get it. We gotta raise our kids while we live and make a million off a record.
Hello, friends. Welcome to episode 10. Of Tay's Tidbits. I'm so excited to be here with you guys. We have a special guest with us this evening. Introduce yourself, lovely.
Hey, y'all. I'm Megan.
I was excited about episode 10, so I wanted to have a guest and make it like a party. So Megan is here joining us. We are live on Instagram. We have wine. We have tunes. I mean, I'm going to stop talking before Sean comes in.
I mean, it really is a party, though.
It's definitely a celebration. So, excited to be back here with you guys. Thank you for being patient through my little hiatus.
Let me get a free cold, never slacking, man. Sipping in the black rain, faster than a red ghost, getting ghosts from Pac-Man. One time, no, I got a knack to get that change. Leader of the black gang, ROC, man. Bang like T-Mac, ski mask, air it out. Gotta kill witnesses, cause three bears sticking out. Y'all don't want to witness. Free squeeze hammers, man. Bullets freeze by you, like Louisiana, man. But I got a VTN, man. So I move keys, you can call me the piano, man. Rain, sleet, hell, snowman, slang, e-hydro, man. No, BC in the third lane. Ram still praying, working on my nerves, man. Like, son, you gotta get your soul clean before they blow them horns like Coke.
Just make this statement loud and clear. Jersey's here. Some dudes got problems with me over there.
You gon' do it like
some people see me crippin' back on tight. That's
you gon' do it like
you know my stomach.
Yes, y'all, it's the one and only.
What else?
And I came to have fun, get homie.
What else?
And I came with a ton of money.
But
don't get it twisted, the gun is on me.
Now,
this chick's with a man frontin' on me. I'll holla at her when she done with homie. Good. Jump on, I got a ton of grown freaks. One named Tasha, one named Monique. One's Diva that'll keep her makeup tight. She got a good heel going with a Jacob Ice. And my little club, she stay up nice. And she give me brains just the way I like.
Joey, my Jersey brethren. Okay. So, I'm excited to have someone to talk to and not to be talking to myself. We have a few things that we're going to discuss on today's episode. I want Megan to give a little bit of background, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know.
Background about myself.
Megan did my makeup.
I did.
She's awesome. We work together currently, but I really enjoy your vibe in the office. We talk a lot. She's a
Thank
Virgo.
You. I am very much a Virgo.
So Megan is going to give us a little bit of background. Yes. No is a complete sentence. Thanks for coming back, Tosh. I'm talking to people on Instagram, you guys. This episode's a little bit different. It's not going to be as structured. It's not just me. Thank you, Carla. It's episode 10. We're celebrating 10 episodes. I'm excited about 10 episodes. Again, thank you guys for rocking with me through my little hiatus. I needed a minute. The truth is I was really, really struggling. So I took a minute away to get myself together. And then I knew that when I came back, episode 10 would be a party. So that's what we're doing. We're having a party, right, Megan?
We are. Sorry, I'm trying to like tell everybody on my channels that we're live.
Megan runs the social media at the Puff Cup, so
I do.
She's the social media girl, so she's on her phone right now.
I'm the one that yells at everybody that the Puff Cup is not a banana clip.
It's not a banana clip.
Not a banana clip.
It's really just old people on Facebook who have nothing better to say.
Or trolls. There's been a few trolls in there.
Lots of trolls. Lots. Because, yeah. I mean, seriously, it's like, it's really old. Like, and they keep saying the same thing over and over again. It's like, okay, we heard you, girl. Please stop.
Enjoy your banana clips. Like,
right. Like, where could you even buy? You see me, Tosh? She did a great job. Where can you even buy banana clips? Like, why do people swear by?
At the beauty store by Boost Mobile. That's where you can get them.
The beauty supply store by Boost Mobile. These are all of our inside work jokes. Sorry. But anyway, I was saying we work together. That's how we met. We haven't known each other long. But I really appreciate her vibe. She is a Virgo, so we connect on that. We are very similar in a lot of ways. And I said, we were having a conversation one day, and the space that I'm in right now, I just go with what I feel. And I just felt like asking her if she wanted to be on episode 10. And she said yes. So here we are.
Yes.
Okay, sorry. Megan.
Sorry. Okay. I'm putting it down.
She's posting, so people will come. Watch us, okay. Listen to us. I don't know what you're telling people to do.
I'm just saying we're live now. Come watch me be awkward.
Somebody like on Instagram tell me how she sounds. Can you guys hear her? Because I don't know what number her mic is, but I want to make sure that she comes through on the recording clearly. Tosh, if you're there, can you tell me how you hear her? Say something, Megan.
Hello?
She sounds good, Carla. You might need to even make it.
Do I need to like talk a little, be a little more talkative?
No, do I need to be a little more talkative? You sound great. You sound great. Okay, so I was telling the people how I took a bit of a hiatus because episode 10 typically would have come out this Tuesday, but I tried to let everybody know that it wasn't going to come out, and hopefully everybody is still in love with me, my friends. Shout out to everyone who is listening to this podcast for the first time. Shout out to everyone who's listening for the last time. I don't know.
And hopefully not. Like,
you know, I consider all things. And everybody in between, I appreciate all of you. I hope that this episode finds you well. Oh, my love is here. Look, Tashan is here.
Oh, hi, Tashan.
I hope that this episode finds you guys in good spirits, in good health, and I hope that you leave this episode better than you came to it. That's always my wish and my hope. We have a list of topics. I'm really excited to have somebody to talk to and not to just listen to myself talk. I know that you guys enjoy hearing me, and I really appreciate it. Hello. Why so dry? I really appreciate all of the feedback, but it is incredibly mentally taxing to carry an entire podcast for an hour by myself. So I'm happy to have a guest.
And we're happy twinning. We are.
No is still a complete sentence. Anyway.
Sorry, my hair keeps getting in the way, though. Like, I can't show off the merch.
It won't. Oh, yeah, because it's a hoodie, so it won't stay back.
Okay, there we go.
So, Megan. From our list of topics, the first thing I want to talk about is the balance between humility and confidence. I think that as women, especially, we find ourselves sometimes feeling like we have to pick one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
That does.
There's some women who are completely like super humble and modest, and they mm-hmm. don't, like, they feel like it's almost insulting to be or to mm-hmm. show confidence. And then there are some women who are almost, like, completely to the other side. Not to the point of arrogance, but they're not concerned with whether or not you feel like they're humble. They're always, right. like, showing how confident they are.
Yes. Yeah.
Through
I got
words.
You.
And so I feel like with you, there's like a sweet balance between the two.
Oh,
and
thank
I think
you.
That I feel like what I admire about you is that you seem to have a good balance, and you found like a good rhythm between being sure of yourself, being confident, while also being humble.
Thank you. That's probably one of the sweetest things anyone's ever said to me. Like, no lie.
It's too early to cry.
No lie.
We're literally 12 minutes in. You got to relax.
And your makeup looks great. Thank you.
Let the people get a close up.
I didn't put setting spray on it, so you can't cry because it'll.
Can't cry. Sorry. It won't stay. The makeup.
I mean, you can cry. Feel all your feelings.
Feel my feelings. But I appreciate you saying that. But I really mean that because for me, I think that the humility was, it was from like a negative place. It wasn't like a positive, like, oh, I'm just modest. It was like I'm not comfortable being confident. So let me just, so now that I am and I do feel differently, I think that humility still has its place.
It definitely does. And for me, I think I was in that same place where, like, growing up, I was very, very shy, very insecure. I was about to say, let me take a sip of wine before we get into this.
This is, what is this? Sauvignon Blanc, my favorite white wine, in a plastic cup.
Yes.
Bougie and not really at the same time. But go ahead.
Should I plug my wine too while we're at it?
Hers, yeah, she's drinking Chardonnay.
I'm drinking Chardonnay. I'm usually not a white wine person. I'm a Shiraz girl for anybody out there that feels like sending me Shiraz, tequila, whatever.
I can give you the address if you want to send her something. Yeah. She likes those things.
Yeah, I do. I do very much. But anyways, back to the topic at hand. I feel like growing up, I was always very shy and very insecure because of trauma that I experienced growing up. Verbal abuse. We're getting heavy really quick, guys. Verbal and like emotional abuse and all of that. So it took a long time for me to feel confident with myself. It took a lot of like learning and a lot of self-reflection and a lot of just being comfortable with me and being comfortable with who I am and accepting myself and not really trying to please people or make people proud of me who, to be honest, were and are never going to be proud of me, no matter what I do. Like,
so what? You went to the moon. You should have.
I was about to say, I could pull down the moon.
You should have brought the moon back to Earth.
I could pull down the moon, and some people would still be like, well, you should have done it this way, and why didn't you get the sun and, like, the whole solar system while you were up there? You just didn't do it good enough. And, you know, it's taken a long time for me to realize that that's more about them than it is about me.
It's always about them. Always.
And that while people's opinions do matter to me, the ones like that, I just kind of brush them off. Hi, everyone.
That's Bev. Yes. So, again, for everyone listening, we are live on Instagram. So all of this side chatter that you hear, that is what this is. This episode is very different. Not only do I have a guest, I'm live streaming. So hopefully you guys will be entertained and follow along in the conversation. But if there are interruptions and deviations, that's what it is. It's that we're live on Instagram, so we're talking to those people as well as recording the episode at the same time. Thank you guys for logging in to watch. Thank you so much. This is new. I wanted to do something different for the 10th episode. I'm really, really proud of making it to episode 10. I'm going to speak to Megan's point in a second, but while I'm in this little flow, I just want you to know that doing this podcast has been incredibly triggering for me. I'm going to be 1,000% honest. It's forced me to look at myself in the mirror in a way that I have never done before. It's forced me to acknowledge telling the stories and reflecting and going through all of the things. It's brought it back up in a way. And while I don't regret it, I'm really, really glad that I was honest, it's forced me to have to deal with some stuff. So I'm proud to be at episode 10. Not that I considered not doing it anymore. Let me be clear, but it has been very, very challenging. But I think that anything that's good and that's worth it is, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
It's special. It's important. So I didn't expect that it would be easy. And if it was easy, I wouldn't think that it was quite as special as it is. Mm-hmm. So to Megan's point, yes, girl, that right there is, that's like a life-changing moment when you get to the point where you realize these people are never going to be happy.
Yeah.
So I need to learn how to be happy with me because this is never going to change.
Yeah.
If I lose weight, I'm too skinny. If I gain weight, I'm too fat. If I cut my hair, it's too short. If I let it grow, it's too long. Mm-hmm. You're just always going to find something because yeah. that is just who you are. So I'm not going to focus on trying to change to please you in any way, shape, or form. I'm just going to learn how to be okay with my choices, my life, my decisions, and everything right. like that. So I think that what you said is probably where you learn to find the balance between humility and confidence. I think mm-hmm. it comes from just knowing who you are mm-hmm. and being cool and secure in the decisions that mm-hmm. you make as an adult, yeah. right? It's like, this is what yeah. I want to do, and I'm okay with it, and I don't feel the need to defend it one way or the other.
Yeah.
So that in and of itself is a form of confidence.
Right.
And then just humble enough to be like, okay, if you mm-hmm. like it, you like it, but if you don't, that's okay too. You know, like, I'm not really here yeah. to feel any type of way either way. Like, I find that with you too, like, because you're like super like accepting mm-hmm. like, you know, some people are just, I think that's why we get along as well. They just live and they let live.
Yes. Yeah. People, you just have to let stuff flow in when it's time mm-hmm. to come into your life, and then when it's time to flow out of your life, be okay and accepting with it flowing out of your life. And that's something I've also struggled with and really had to work on, was being present in the moment. And my version of being present in the moment is being grateful and being happy with what's in my life now, but also not forming an attachment to where I'm going to be so down in the dumps and beat up on myself and fall back into an insecure place because this person, thing, event, you know, this moment in my life has run its course mm-hmm. and, you know, is making room for something better or something else. So
that's powerful. And I'm not going to misquote Nipsey, mm-hmm. but there is, I remember there being a quote floating around the internet where he said something mm-hmm. like that. Like, we don't own people. We don't right. own, we don't even own like experiences, where all of them are moments in time that are supposed to come to us and mm-hmm. flow through us. So, and I'm not saying that because I'm where you are. Trust me, I still struggle with holding on to things. And mm-hmm. I think my abandonment issues cause me to want to grip tight to people and friends and jobs and money and security. Like, security yeah. is very, very important to me. So when I feel like I'm like losing mm-hmm. control of things, or things are not. But like you said, that is super important for me to remember that things come to me and they flow through me.
Yeah.
You know, like my children, they're my children. They came through my body, but they're human beings mm-hmm. that just happened to get here by way of me. I don't own them.
Right.
So it's the same with friends, relationships, any type of interaction that we have in life. Everything is not permanent. And mm-hmm. regardless of if it is something that happens to be, you know, long term or short term, the focus should be what we got from it, what mm-hmm. we learned from it, what memories we made during that time. And that was really, really hard for me. Just the whole, you know, blessings, lessons, mm-hmm. lifetime.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's hard for anybody, because when you lose something in your life that you valued so much and you experienced so much joy with and being present in, you know, it's sad. It's sad, and it's heartbreaking to see that kind of run its course and kind of float out of your life. You know, it's a struggle for everybody to, when you're in a sad place, to be like, oh, well, I'm grateful for this and this and this, and these were happy moments, because you know, you still want those moments. But, you know, you just have to remind yourself that that float ran its course and that something else that's equally as good or better is going to come in and bring some new memories and new moments.
Right. And that new thing can't occupy space that's already filled.
Exactly.
So when that person or thing or that situation ends, it's almost like it's making room for whatever that new thing is supposed to be. And I think sometimes we're so forward and so future, like, focused, and we always want to talk about and think about things that are in the future. But two, I think work on to be better with what you're talking about. I think we should focus on this present moment. I'm enjoying this person right now. Maybe they'll be around 10 years from now. Maybe they won't, but I'm enjoying this moment. And then the next day, the same thing. I'm enjoying this moment. Instead of always thinking about what the future looks like, what the future looks like. And then if we don't make it to that place, it's a whole extra set of disappointment that maybe we could avoid by just enjoying every moment as it comes.
Yeah.
And if every moment as it comes leads us to 10, 20 years, then, you know, that's amazing. But we enjoy those moments and we allow them to be what they are, independent of this future that we don't even know whether or not it's, you know, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I think that's super dope. Are you guys enjoying?
We got heavy, like, very quickly, but I'm here for it.
But this is what I knew would happen, and this is why I wanted you on the show, because I feel like you match my energy in a very interesting way. We have things in common, absolutely, from the stories that we've shared, which we're not going to share on this podcast. We love you guys, but no. But we also have very different lives and experiences and things that we've been through. But I think that it speaks to, and this can bring us to our next point, it speaks to the human experience being so similar and much more similar than it is different, number one. And number two, energy is undeniable.
Yes, yeah.
It doesn't matter what race you are, what socioeconomic status you are, what age, if the energy is in alignment, you will gravitate to the person.
Yes.
Regardless of.
Yeah. You're in align with, like, whatever energy you're projecting. So whatever you're putting out, like, you're going to bring back into you and manifest in your life.
She's preaching. So. Keep going. Keep going.
That was my nugget of wisdom, was that, like, if you put out, like, sad vibes and woe is me vibes and, like, victim vibes, you're going to constantly stay the victim. You're always going to attract situations where you're the victim. And I don't want that to be confused with people that are actually in victim situations,
right?
Because there are instances like that.
Right. You're speaking to perspective.
Can't be helped. Yes. But perspective wise, like, if you're like, oh, well, I'm the victim here because they didn't want to talk to me, or I'm the victim here because I didn't get my fries at this place, or, you know, and little nitpicky stuff like that where you're not actually a victim, it's just, it is what it is.
It's different than someone who's actually been victimized. And that's not what I don't think you're speaking to. But to your point about attracting what you put out, which I really appreciate you saying that, because I believe, and I'm starting to accept more and more every day, that the people in my life truly are a reflection of me. And for a long time, I saw the people in my life independent of who I am.
Right.
And there's really no way.
Right.
Because I spoke about this on a prior episode, is that the people who are closest to me really are a mirror for me.
That's so true. Like, it's, the phrase will come to me. When it does, I'm just going to, like, randomly yell it in the microphone. But I'm big on, like, manifestation and law of attraction and everything like that. And one of the, like, rules I've, not rule, but, like,
Laws
of that is that everyone is, like, a projection of you. So, like, everyone that's around you is going to vibe how you vibe, because at the end of the day, we're all energy. Like, we're all energy. Everything, you know, is a vibration of some sort. So,
you know, and I have a really good friend. Shout out to Marianne. I love you very much forever and always. Mm-hmm. And she was the one who introduced the concept to me and reminds me constantly. I'm very, very big on affirmations. Everyone who's listened to this podcast from the beginning knows that. But not only affirming myself, you know, I do mm-hmm. it all the time.
Yeah.
Megan, she'll do something and I'll be like, oh my God, that's amazing. She'll be like, I'm trying. I'm like, trying's for peasants. And it's like a joke. Like, it's funny. It's in jest. But I say it to remind her, like, no, you're dope. You're doing a great job. And trying is for people who don't have their shit together. That's not you. So
I knew you were going to talk about that phrase as soon as you started. I was like, she's going to talk about when I'm like, oh, well, I try.
I'll be like, oh, your outfit. Oh, I'm trying. No, trying is for basic girls, honey. We're queens. There's difference.
That's true.
Anyway, but I was going somewhere with that. But the affirming. So I try to remind the people in my life how I feel about them constantly. If I feel appreciative, grateful, whatever it is, I want my people to have their flowers mm-hmm. now, right? So I'll text Marianne, and Marianne and I have been friends for 20 years, by the way, and I still remind her every chance that I can how I feel about her and how I appreciate her, because I really, really do. This girl has been with me in the trenches in some of the darkest moments of my life over the course of the last 20 years. Anyway, see, no, you did that. No trying. Exactly, Bev. Don't worry. As long as I'm around, that whole trying shit is out of here. We do or we don't do. There is no try. So shout out to, who was that? Vince Lombardi, maybe? Somebody remind me. But anyway, so I text Marianne and I just, you know, the other day we had a conversation. And after I left the conversation, mm-hmm. which is typical for conversations that she and I have, I felt great. Yeah. I felt stronger, felt encouraged. And I texted her to let her know, thank you so much, blah, 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 blah. I, you know, you don't know how much your support means to me. And she responds that I am a reflection of you. She said, you have great friends because you are a great friend.
Aww,
and I love think, that. And I think it's to your point that we draw to us what we put out, but yeah. I never put myself in that equation. Like, yeah, maybe yeah. I do have people around me who are solid because I'm solid.
Yeah.
So
speaking of solid people really quick, I saw that my girl Dom got on live.
Hi, Dom. Hi. Hey, Dom. Shout out to Dom. I appreciate you.
They know I talk about them all the time at the office.
Listen, Dom, let me just say this to you and people who are going to be listening to this, you guys, again, you just have to bear with us. We're recording this. We're streaming this live. From the first time she's mentioned you, I felt like I knew you, Dom. I don't know what it is, but when I saw you that time in the office on FaceTime, I was like, yeah, she's exactly who I thought she would be. Like the energy, back to energy. And it's something that's very, very new mm-hmm. for me. It's not something that I ever paid attention to before. But I am starting to pay attention just to not only how I gravitate to other people, mm-hmm. but how I avoid certain people yeah. and their energy.
Yeah. But I'm noticing recently with energies that don't vibe with me, like people that don't vibe with me anymore are just naturally falling out of my life.
Okay.
Like
okay.
just naturally leaving my life. Is it sometimes in a dramatic way? Yes. But
either way,
the universe is putting a situation in place where they're just kind of naturally just leaving my life. And then I'm starting to attract better energies and energy and better people that are more aligned with me, like Dom and Jules and like all of my friends, Jen, Kristen. There's so many of y'all I can't even name, but you all know.
Hi, Mike. Thank you, Kesey. Thank you for listening. See, I'm definitely a Christian girl, and I definitely believe in God and in his governing mm-hmm. of the universe. But I do know that the universe is governed by those laws.
Yes.
So whether you call it sowing and reaping, the law of reciprocity, karma. It's all the same law. It's all the same thing. What you put out comes back to you. However you look at it or classify it or call it is, you know, is up to you. And energy by scientific matter is undeniable.
Yeah.
Like you said, we are made up of energy. So I don't believe that that's all that makes a human. I do believe we have a spirit and a soul and, you know, those things. But I think that the way that we feel and the thing that connects us is energy. And I think that our experiences definitely help us relate to one another.
Yes.
Which is so important in the human experience, and which is what I think people often just lose sight of. The fact that this person that you may or may not feel like is supposed to be friends with you because they're white or they're black or they're tall or they're short or whatever may have more in common with you than you actually know.
Right.
Trauma is universal.
Yes. Everybody experiences some form of trauma. Whether it's strong forms of trauma, like abuse or, you know, something of that nature, or whether it's just like small forms of trauma that you may mistake as like pain, it's still trauma. Like if you're still thinking about it, it was a traumatic experience.
Even if you don't think about
it, yeah,
it's stored in your body. And because we're human beings, we all respond in the same way.
Yes.
So we can all relate and we could all have stories to tell based on the things that we've been through and how it's caused us to kind of do life and to act out. And I think that's the reason why I really enjoy this podcast. The thing that I enjoy most about this podcast is the connection that I make with the people who listen. And when they send me messages and they're like, oh my God, you know, maybe I didn't go through that, but I understand how that made you feel like this.
Yes.
Because when I went through X, Y, and Z, it made me feel the same way. So it tells me that we're humans and we're more alike than we are different. Yes. So our next topic, I want to talk to Megan about her experience as a non-problematic, non-racist white woman. I don't meet many white women that I vibe with. I just have to be honest with you.
I get that. Like, I
love her.
Out of all, we've all seen the Karens this past year. Like, I get it. I get it.
I love her.
I get it.
She does get it. She genuinely gets it. And because she gets it, I said, you know what? I want you to speak to that. Because I'm not a white woman in America. So I can't speak to that experience, whether it's racist or non-racist. I don't know. But I know that for you, how is it to be amongst them, but yet so separate? Because you're not, because the thought process is different.
In all honesty, I would say my white friends have kind of grown smaller and smaller over the years. And I think part of the reason is that I don't vibe with them because I grew up in the South. I grew up in South Carolina, like the heart of racism, like racism.
No, say it, say
and
it.
And the heart of racism, pretty much. And I just, you know, my family had very racist ideals and I love my family. I don't want anybody to think that I like hate them or anything like that, but they just have very racist ideals. And like my whole life growing up, I was like, this doesn't make sense. Like this
even as a
right.
child,
even
you
as
felt,
a child, like here's an example. I wasn't allowed to watch Sister Sister because there were black people on the show. And growing up, I was like, why does that matter? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, everybody. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I don't get that.
As a child, of course, right? You would like, be like,
I don't get it. I just like the show. Like, I don't understand why this is such a big deal.
Did they ever give you like a why?
Of course not.
Oh, because they probably didn't even
know why. Of course
not, because
how can you explain, like, why you hate somebody because of their skin color? Like,
sis,
how can you explain that?
Preaching. And what I feel like is so important to highlight is that if you are not in alignment with something, mm-hmm. you have to disconnect from it, because you cannot tell me as a person, right? Let's just say there's a person who wants to tell you, I'm not racist, mm-hmm. but their entire family is. And do you know what I'm saying? So right. basically, if you are still, and I'm not assuming that you've ostracized yourself from your family. I'm not right. saying that. But to your point about your friend group of white people becoming smaller, it's like people who I don't agree with and I'm not aligned with, mm-hmm. there's no way I can continue to hang out with you.
Yeah.
Because my hanging out with you, by sheer virtue of our connection, mm-hmm. says that I agree with you.
Exactly. Exactly. And I'm not going to agree with you hating somebody for no reason. Literally no reason. And I found myself gravitating more towards, you know, my black friends, my Asian friends, my Hispanic friends, and then my white friends are people that I can have these conversations with, and we all kind of agree that your hatred based on someone's skin color is stupid, mm-hmm. like plain out stupid.
What would you say was the turning point for you?
Honestly, the turning point for me
in your adolescence, I mean, like in your mm-hmm. growing up.
I would say in college, when I got to literally physically be away from my family, that's when, you know, my eyes were open to not only the ignorance I was taught and that I was living and I had to kind of break and change, but it opened my eyes to that, like, there's that I was right. There's literally no reason to hate somebody because they look different than me. Absolutely no reason whatsoever. So, yeah, college was like the big thing, and that's where I found myself having a more diverse group of friends, and a group of friends that kind of thought on the same lines as me, that, you know, that it just doesn't make sense.
So, excuse me, have you experienced any, like, backlash amongst, like, your white counterparts who would maybe not understand your stance or disagree?
I have. I've had people call me, and this could get a little triggering for people, so I want to give out that warning before I go into this. I've had people call me an N-word lover, mm-hmm. You know, monkey lover, stuff like that, mm-hmm. and it's really hurtful to hear that, because it's just like, their anger is just so strong, and it's just hurtful to hear that kind of anger and just to see how blind with rage they are. Mm-hmm. I've had people tell me that I have low self-esteem because I'm friends with people that aren't white and that I've dated guys that aren't white. I've had people ask me, well, what do you think about yourself that you don't date just white guys? And I'm like, what do you think about yourself that you're asking me that question right now? Like,
I think it's one thing to live your life in a way that, you know, is non-problematic, mm-hmm. or that is non-racist, or that is accepting and loving. It's another thing to take a stance mm-hmm. against something. And I have to imagine that something that is as large and is as powerful, not for nothing, as systemic racism mm-hmm. would cause more backlash on the other end, right? Because mm-hmm. I've seen just here recently, like with the BLM movement, with, you know, white people who have, you know, become allies mm-hmm. and who have just stood out and said, listen, like, enough is enough, and we want our, you know, non-white people to know that we stand with them.
Yes.
I personally think that racism is not going to go away until white people use their privilege to combat it.
Exactly.
So you coming on here, or just even having a conversation to say, yeah, maybe that's the way I was raised. And it's so funny because my other really, really good white friend, mm-hmm. same story, grew mm-hmm. up in the South. Parents told her this. She moved to this and she's like, wait a minute. Yeah. This is not anything like what you told me. Like,
right.
Like, so these conversations need to be had.
They do.
And I don't care how tired people are hearing about it. I don't care how cliche it is, I don't care how much of a buzzword it is on the internet, people need to have conversations with people who do not look like them in order mm-hmm. to understand mm-hmm. their experience. It's not just about me being like, oh, I'm black and, you know, United States is racist. No, it's about me having a conversation with mm-hmm. you to learn what your experience is like as a white woman in this country, because exactly. it's nothing like mine.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think if white people who are in the same mindset as me, and this is just my opinion, if you're staying quiet and not having conversations with people that think differently than you and saying, well, why do you think this? What, not really interrogating and saying, what proof do you have? But in a way saying like, why do you think this? Where does this come from? You're doing a disadvantage to the whole like movement. That's in my mind, that educating yourself and then looking at how you've benefited from this, systemic racism, and changing, like figuring out a way where you can help your counterparts of color benefit. Like, those are major things you can do.
I didn't pay her to be here, y'all. I did not pay her to be here. This is how she feels, and this is the reason why I wanted to have her on this show. Everyone who listens to this podcast knows how serious it is to me. It's not something that I take lightly at all. And I would not play around and just have anybody on just because. Like, I truly appreciate being able to have these conversations with you. Cheers mm-hmm. again. Cheers. Episode 10.
Yay.
Woo. Oh, and that's Dom said, and that's why we love her. I have not known her a long time, Dom, but she is seriously super, super dope to me. Mm-hmm. I am so glad that we met, seriously. So, moving along, we talk about music a lot. You guys know me. I love music. It's a huge part of my life. So I typically run the music in the office for whatever reason. I don't know. If I don't turn the music on, they'll just sit there in silence. I can't sit there in silence, so I end up turning the music on. My go-to, especially because we're at work and I'm trying to be as, you know, PC as possible and not in there, you know, playing a bunch of curse words and everything, even though we will close the door and go in sometimes. Mm-hmm. But the most I play, I would say, is like R&B, right? I typically yield toward old school R&B.
R&B, sometimes we get like the Mariah and like that 90s vibe in there too, which I appreciate.
Yeah, sometimes I'll Maroon 5, Justin mm-hmm. Timberlake, blah, blah, blah. I'll bring those kind of poppy vibes in.
There's a couple days you've done some like smooth jazz, like elevator music. Good elevator music though, not bad elevator music.
If I'm in like a mood and I need to calm myself down, I'll put smooth jazz on. I don't want to hear anybody singing anything. I like saxophones and flutes and things like that. Yes, mm-hmm. for sure. But I wanted to talk about your music kind of choices and what you listen to and like to listen to. And
yes, first, let's go ahead and put this out there because Shantae already knows this. I am a Travis Scott stan. Travis, if you ever hear this, I love you. I love your jams. I don't know how you turn the music you record into like the wild concert you do, but I love it.
Travis, if you ever hear this, I hope Travis hears this.
I love it.
And along with Travis, I hope a whole bunch of other people hear it. Hove, hey. Hey, yep, somebody send this up to Rock Nation. Like, every episode.
Yes.
Okay.
He's who I've been, like, listening to a lot right now. Just because it's a chill vibe. It's a chill vibe, but who else do I listen to? I am definitely an R&B kind of person and a hip-hop kind of person, but, like, a chill hip-hop. Occasionally, I can get with, like, you know, I don't know what the word is. Like, a little more upbeat.
Like, hip-hop. Trap, maybe more?
Maybe
like, Chains, like.
I love me some 2 Chainz.
I like Chainz, too. I like Chainz, too.
I love me some 2 Chainz.
She's from the South, so I would expect that the vibe would be a little bit different. But, I like, Travis Scott, Kid Cudi, like that mm-hmm. vibe is it's hip hop, but it's still a little more. It's for stoners. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like you can tell that people smoke and listen to this music.
I like the stoner hip hop. Yeah,
it's very laid back and relaxed, even though it's still rap.
But I do get down with some of the trap hip hop too, like 2 Chainz. I've been riding with him since he was Titty Boy.
Oh, okay.
So I've been riding with him like that long. But who else? I'm a big Kehlani fan.
Okay.
I listened to a lot of her music. Who else have I been? My Spotify is so eclectic right now.
Is it? Well, do you feel like... So I think some people listen to the word. Like, do you feel like music... Like, what does music do for you?
I listen to the words. I'm a very lyrical kind of person, which reminds me, J. Cole's also... Another one of my favorite people in Childish Gambino.
Okay.
Because of their lyrics and their wordplay.
Okay.
Like, it just amazes me how they can just come up with these play of words on the spot or tell such an amazing story within the span of, like, 3 minutes.
Okay. So, this was something that... Okay, no, go ahead.
But, yeah, I relate to words. Like, if I'm feeling some type of way, I'm going to listen to... Sad music, like
okay, because Kehlani has some lyrics. She writes some songs.
She does.
She says some things on her. Okay, okay. So, okay. There's a couple things with me and music. Number one, replay value. I listen to the same artists all the time. We were talking earlier. I am a person who definitely yields towards anything that's dependable. So if I know a song, if I listen to it 100 times, I know that it's good. I don't have to wonder, so I'll play it. But not only that, I think that I allow my music to speak to all parts of my life. So there may be a song that speaks to something that I went through 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. There may be a song that speaks to something that I'm currently going through. And then there may be a song that speaks to something that, like an empowering song. Like, I wish I was in that mindset. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's kind of just where I wanted to talk about with music. I think it always interests me what people's musical palette is and the reasons why people listen to what they listen to.
Yeah. I definitely have made different playlists in Spotify for different reasons. Like, I have a high vibes playlist, which is really songs that are secretly full of affirmations and you, like, don't really catch it. But I listen to that every morning, that playlist, because I'm like, yes, I'm healthy, I'm wealthy. Y'all know that song from TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
But,
it's a song?
It is a song.
I didn't realize it was a song. I thought it was like a poem.
Mm-mm, it's a song, and I love it.
I like those videos because I'm like, yes, sis.
But I have that, and then I have, you know, a breakup playlist. I call it my hot girl shit playlist, which was inspired by Tosh. I don't know if she's on here.
I don't know if she's still on here or not.
It was inspired by Tosh's musical selections. You know, for the streets.
Tasha's also 25 and very much in tune to the streets. By the way, speaking of Tosh, she designed this hoodie that we're wearing. I've shouted her out on like 4 episodes. But anyway, the hoodie, this is a custom color, this red. And if you guys are interested in custom colors, right now it's only listed on the website in navy. But I can get you whatever color you want. So if you're interested in a custom color of the Noah's a Complete Sentence hoodie, send me a DM, an email, something like that, and we can arrange it. The supplier that I use, I said supplier. I sound like Ghost from Power. I can get just about any color. So if you are interested in another color other than navy, reach out and let me know, and I will get it for you. It would be my pleasure to get it for you. So I think that's really it with music. But man, seriously, I tweeted a couple nights ago. Mm-hmm. I was like, I really tell myself I'm going to listen to a new artist. Like, I'm going to try something new. Because when I listen to Joe on the podcast, at the end, and even sometimes throughout the podcast, they will debut new music and they'll talk about new artists all the time. And I'll be like, oh, like, it'll sound good. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, I'm going to listen. Girl, I listen to Anita Baker, Toni Braxton, Mariah Carey, Babyface, every night. Like, the same artist all of the time. I'm that person. I think I'm at that age.
Like, I do think it's also a Virgo thing, though, because, like, I listen to the same artist, too. Like, instead of listening to the radio and kind of, like, listening to new music, I just listen to all my playlists that have songs from, like, way back when.
Okay. Yeah, so, it's something about just knowing what I'm going to get. It's the consistency, the dependability. Mm-hmm. I don't have time to waste. So, like, I give you 3 minutes of my time to listen to this song and it's trash, and then I'm like, can't get those 3 minutes back. It's just very weird when it comes to music. Yeah. I know I'm not the only person who feels like this, but when I tell you, and I don't even listen to playlists. I have Apple Music. I have Tidal. Shout out to Tidal.
Of course, you shout out Jay. Of course.
Shout out to Tidal.
I love it.
Shout out to Ace of Spades. Shout out to Moet. Shout out to Roc Nation. I have Tidal, I have Apple Music, but when I'm listening, like at night, drinking my wine, I listen to Pandora, and it's radio, right? Girl, it's always the same songs.
It really is.
I know exactly what's going to happen. So, like, I'll put on Toni Braxton radio. It's Toni Braxton radio, but they're going to play this Toni Braxton song, then they're going to play this Babyface song, then they're going to play this Whitney Houston song. Like, I can just... It gives me variety enough that I don't know exactly what's coming next.
Yeah.
So there's a little spontaneity, but I know exactly who's going to be within. And it's just like.
Yeah. So I have a question. Mm-hmm. Are you one of those people, because I'm this person, where I'll put on a playlist to try to be like open-minded, but then I know the exact song I want to hear. So I keep skipping through songs until I get to that exact song.
That's it. That's it. Like, sometimes I'll be listening to something and it'll make me want to hear something. It'll remind me of something. So then I'll go right to that song.
Yeah.
Then I'll go right to it. Yeah. Yeah.
But on Spotify, like, I have the song and instead of going straight to it, I just let the playlist run and just skip through every song until it gets to that song.
Oh, because you know in the order of the.
Well,
because
I know eventually it'll come up. But I'm just, like, too lazy to, like, look through and find it.
So you just skip through.
So I just, like, will let a song play for a minute, and I'm like, eh, skip it. Let a song play for a second, eh, skip it, skip it, skip it, skip it.
Yeah, the only time I listen to playlists is when I'm working out. That's it. That's the only time I listen to playlists. Yeah, I do radio any other time. Because I like a bit of surprise, but still the predictability of knowing, okay, it's this artist, so all of the songs will sound like this.
Yeah, yeah.
But Pandora, girl, please. It's like, it's very rare that I will listen to, let's say I do Toni Braxton radio, Mariah Carey radio, Babyface radio. They don't play songs that I have. It's not like, oh, I haven't heard this song in forever. It's always like the same 20.
Yeah. And I will say.
It's kind of like a playlist.
For those of you that do have Spotify, they have a time capsule playlist. Fire. Straight fire.
Time capsule?
Time capsule. It's like songs that, I don't know what their algorithm does, but it's songs that they know that you're going to like that are like from like way back when. Which I know way back when is different for everybody, but
way back when,
but from like, you know, years ago, and they come up with like a playlist based on like the music you download and like your most listened to songs. Fire. Nail it every time.
I think Pandora has like a similar algorithm. Mm-hmm. Like if you listen to a song all the way through from beginning to end, even if you don't thumbs up, it assumes that you like it. So that's keeps crazy. It in the rotation. If you skip it, then they won't play that song for a while.
That's crazy.
Yeah. If you thumbs up, it's automatically going to play that song if you go to that station every single time.
Yeah.
I've learned that. I'm like, okay, I thumbs up that day because I was really into this song. It doesn't mean I really want to hear it all the time. Okay, let's move on.
Okay.
So, what else? I need you to pull up the list, Megan.
I got you.
Thanks, girl.
Got you.
Hi, everyone on Instagram. Hello. I don't know exactly who's in here right now because I'm trying to focus on recording. Two Virgos doing a podcast is really funny because you know we have a list.
We do. Of course.
Let me see.
Our next two topics are like, we're going back to heavy.
We're going in. Trust issues.
Let's talk about this.
Let's talk about it.
Actually, I was about to say, let's drink some wine before... We talk about it. Cheers.
Anybody on Instagram understand? Anybody want to join in on this conversation about trust issues? Wine was necessary. I knew that we would need wine just to get through this topic.
Yeah. I honestly don't even know where. I'm interested to see where you begin with this, because in my mind, I'm like, where do we begin?
I don't know where to begin. The thing that I'm struggling with the most is that how can a person, and I mean any person, mm-hmm. male, female, anywhere in life, who's been through any substantial amount of trauma and who's been disappointed, who's been rejected, abandoned, however you want to look at it, not have issues.
Yeah.
Trusting. It's almost like,
And it's not even that you have issues trusting other people. What I've found is that as it happens more and more, not that it happens all the time. I just want to make that clear. Like, I do not attract like non-trustworthy people in my life, but on the occasion that I do, I find that it's not only hurting me in that I can't trust other people, but it's also hurting me in that I can't trust myself in a way. Cause I'm just like, how could I have not seen this? How could I have let this person in? Like, what was I doing? Do I even like have a good judge of character? Like, what was I thinking?
One of my affirmations is I trust myself, because what I realized is just exactly what you said, mm-hmm. is that my lack of ability to trust didn't just extend to other people.
Yeah.
It was a lack of trust, period.
Yeah.
So I would not trust myself to make mm-hmm. good decisions. I wouldn't trust myself to follow through with things. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't trust myself to honor how I was feeling inside. Mm-hmm. So it was like, when you have issues with trust, it's not just, oh, well, I don't trust that person.
Yeah.
And what you just said kind of spoke to like the end. But for me, it's like whether or not a person lets me down and whether mm-hmm. they, you know, deem themselves to be untrustworthy or not, it's like, why do I even doubt?
Yeah.
Or why do I even suspect or expect? Yeah, you're going to lie to me. You're going to disappoint me. You're going to let me down. You're not going to, it's like.
Yeah, it's like you're always waiting for the other shoe to drop in a way.
Oh my God.
And it's just, it's tough. It's like really hard when you live in that mindset. And I've been there. I was just recently there. We're not going to talk about that though. But I've been there.
We don't throw people under the bus on this podcast.
We don't. but it's just. Yeah, it's a hard mindset to be in. And I feel like it's almost like a spiral or a snowball, because your expectation is that someone's going to let you down. Ultimately, that manifests.
Because
you're looking for it, because you're expecting it.
Right.
And then that goes back to, well, not only do I not trust other people, but I don't trust myself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I don't trust myself to pick good people. I don't trust myself to hold myself accountable, this, that, and the third. Then that manifests, and it's just like it's a constant circle.
It is a defense mechanism. It is, and mm-hmm. I operate in a similar way. I don't give people trust until they show that they earn or deserve it. But what I found is that, oh gosh, it's just like, it's just one of those things, right? Because it's like you want to be like, okay, no, I'm overreacting. As a person with anxiety,
mm-hmm.
having trust issues combined with anxiety mm-hmm. is like a recipe for disaster, because my anxious brain always worries and overthinks anyway,
mm-hmm.
right? So my anxious brain is always telling me that something's wrong, and then my trust issues is like they're compounded. It's just like, I have to always like stop myself and be like, okay. And one thing that my therapist has taught me is like, where is the evidence? Like, look mm-hmm. for the evidence. Like, if you're worried about whether a person is going to disappoint you, whether they're not going to show up for you, whether they're going to, you know, tell you one thing and then do something else, it's like, okay, what is the evidence?
Right.
Like, if three times out of this four,
yeah,
they've done what they've said they're going to do, then most likely they're going to show up for the fourth time.
Right.
You know, anxiety, it doesn't matter what the, it doesn't want to remind you of the history and the evidence. It just wants to tell you to worry and to worry. It's like, well, listen, this person has actually done exactly what they said they were going to do three times in a row.
Yeah.
So more chances than not, they're going to do it again for the fourth time.
Well, and speaking to like your point, the defense mechanism, your anxiety comes in with the overthinking because it's thinking about that one time
that maybe
that it didn't happen.
Right.
And it's like, oh no, you're going to get hurt.
Right.
You're going to get hurt. Let me step in and protect you.
Right.
Let me
keep you safe.
Let me keep you safe. Mm-hmm. When really, if you look at it logically, and I do the same thing as you, I like have to ask myself questions and be like, okay, is this really something where they're showing distrust or showing me that I can't trust them? Or is this me like being dramatic, not being dramatic, but making, is this me overthinking?
Right. 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 And I know control wasn't on our list of topics, but the fact remains is that we can't control anything other than ourselves.
We can't.
So whether or not a person is going to do us wrong, whether or not they are going to disappoint us, is not something that's within our control. Mm-hmm. So interacting with human beings on this planet will forever be a risk. It's just a risk.
It will be.
In it of itself, it's vulnerability because you're allowing someone the ability to either show up for you or not.
Yeah.
So you don't know.
Yeah.
And if someone is habitual in their lack of integrity or lying or whatever it is, then you get to make a decision. But every time that you give someone the space to kind of, you shoot the dice.
Yeah.
So having, you know, trust issues, I would say it's pointless, and it is, but it's not, like I said, it's not something that someone who has, and it usually comes from a place of relationships that we don't have choices about, right? Parent-child relationships.
Right. I feel like 99% of, I don't want to say the issues or the problems, but 99% of the hurdles that I have faced mentally and emotionally stem back to my childhood and, you know, things that I couldn't control within my childhood.
Yep. I think that most people would be able to agree with that statement. And it's so difficult because when we become adults, and especially me as a parent, I'm able to see things differently. I'm able to understand things differently, and I'm able to see and accept, you know, my parents just did the best that they could. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to throw them under the bus, but that doesn't negate the fact that a lot of the shit that I deal with.
Right, yeah. Like, no, I know my parents did their absolute best based on how they were raised, the environments that they were in. I know they did their best, and I am not crapping on them at all or how they parent at all, because they did what they thought was best at the time. They did what they knew was best. But still, like,
it doesn't change.
It doesn't change that that you grow up with some trauma and some things that you have to work through.
Right.
So.
Right. And it's hard. I feel like for me, it's been really hard just trying to reconcile those two things, trying to forgive, trying to like still kind of form healthy relationships and be in like adult child parent relationships, right? Where we're adults. And then still acknowledging, damn, well, I'm still in therapy for the shit that happened to me when I was six, you know? Yeah. So it's a very weird, you know, space to be in.
It's a weird space. It's a weird space. I think I struggle with, out of all of that, I think healthy relationships to an extent. My level of vulnerability is like surface level. I was told, again, we don't throw people under the bus.
We don't throw people under the bus.
I was told that I was hard to be with because I have so many walls up, and it's hard to truly get to know me.
Mm.
And I'm like, you know, I'm trying my best. I'm sorry. Like, I'm working through it. I, you know, I take your feedback back. I accept it and I appreciate it. But yeah,
it's very interesting because I, on the opposite end of that, I'm definitely more of a what you see is what you get type of person. Mm-hmm. And even though we work together, like, mm-hmm. even if we were to, like, hang out, you wouldn't see that I'm the same all the time.
Yeah.
So I don't know where that came from. I don't know how I got to be that person. But I don't know. I do take pride in that, like, the ability to be, like, genuine and transparent. And, you know, I don't want to be like, oh, I don't give a fuck what people think about me. And part of it is that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the other part of it is knowing that every single person is flawed. Yeah. Every single person has issues. There's no one who can judge me that's blameless. So if you feel like you want to point fingers and judge me, it doesn't bother me because I know you too have your own issues.
Right. Yes.
No matter how beautiful the package is, you know?
Yes.
So yeah. I just go through life that same way. Like, I am who I am. If you accept it, that's fine. If you don't, that's also fine. But I don't feel the need to, you know, sway according mm-hmm. to the room that I'm in.
Yeah. And I love that about you. I love that you have that is confidence right there. And I love that you have that confidence to be like, here's who I am. Here's the package. Either you like it or not, but I'm not going to change for you. I'm not going to, you know, I love that.
You know, it took me a very, very long time to accept, but I've always known that I'm a temperature changer,
mm-hmm.
that I was put on this earth to adjust the room, not to adapt to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I do today. I stand in who I am and the voice that I have and what I bring to mm-hmm. this world, because I know that it is important. Mm-hmm. And in that, I know that the people, it's going to land where it's supposed to land, right? The people who are supposed to get it will get it.
Right.
And the people who aren't, they won't, but that's okay mm-hmm. because that means it's not for them.
Yes. Oh, that's so deep.
Deep? No. So me? Deep.
I love
no
it.
No way. I love you guys for tuning in to this entire hour thus far. Thank you guys on Instagram Live for tuning in and watching, and let me know how you feel about this whole live stream thing, other than the music in the beginning and them kicking us off. I'm gonna jump off before we do the outro, because Instagram, okay, I got you. I understand all the copyright shit, but I play music on this podcast, so I'm gonna have to jump off before. But we're like an hour and 10 minutes in. I don't know, it's up to you.
Do we want to keep going, like, touch on the last,
what was the last one?
Mental health.
Yes, mental wellness.
Mental wellness.
Yes. I do want to end on this. Thank you, Bev. Thank you so much for being here the whole time. Aww. You still have to go once it's downloaded. That's the only rule for everyone who watch. You still have to go and listen. I do. I want to end on this topic. I want to end on mental wellness. And I do want to share. I've been journaling, you guys. Good night. Good night, Bev. Thank you again. I have picked up my journal more than once, more than twice. I don't know exactly how many times, but I had multiple dates where I wrote in it. I mentioned, you said you listened mm-hmm. to the episode, you know, I mentioned journaling and how we're struggling with it, but I have written in my journal. I'm super proud of myself, you guys, and I wanted to give you an update on that.
How do you like journaling?
I don't like journaling.
See, I love journaling. I love it.
I don't know what it is, because when I was a girl, I had a diary. I'm a writer. I've always enjoyed writing. Something about journaling, there's a blockage there. Yeah. I still haven't found out what it is.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that eventually, because I do want to write a book at some mm-hmm. point, and I'm hoping that eventually I will get through it and the floodgates will open and I'll mm-hmm. just be like, oh, dear diary, today. But right now, it's a struggle. Yeah. And every time I do it, it's like I'm doing this because I know that I should be doing mm-hmm. it and not because I enjoy doing it. I don't know what it is, girl. I don't know what it is.
It's honestly, for me, when I first started journaling, and you guys know I like writing too, because social media and all of that, that's my job, is to put words together that sound fun. But it took, when I first started, it took me a while to find my rhythm and find what fit me best and what style of writing and kind of what worked well with me and like my routine and my thought process.
Yeah, I'm going to keep at it. And I believe that at some point, like I said, that blockage will just, it'll work its way out and I'll get to the point where it's, because now it's just like, okay, this is something I should be doing, so let me do it. And sometimes it'll be like a paragraph or whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, you guys, what was I saying? I was saying that I've been journaling. We were talking about mental wellness. I hit a wall. Honestly, and I'm not going to go into too much detail because that's unnecessary. What is necessary is to note that I had to come to grips with a couple of things. And on episode 9, I talked about distracting myself and not acknowledging or focusing on the things that were bothering me. That is not something that I can do going forward. There were two things that were really important for me over the course of the last couple of weeks. I acknowledged that I need to talk through my feelings. And I do talk through them in therapy. And therapy is super helpful. But because I have anxiety and I'm super analytical and I overthink, sometimes I'm like, I talk about this shit over all the time. So it's no need to bring it up.
But so it's still important to you.
If it's bothering me and it's right there.
Yeah. But it's still important to you, so you should talk about it, even if you've talked about it for the last year.
Right.
All day, every day the last year. If it's important for you to talk about, if it's still on your mind, you should talk about it.
Right. And it's the literal verbalization of the feeling that helps me. I can think about it. I can even feel like I've processed it. I need to say it out loud. Mm-hmm. So that's number one. Number two, I need to know that there are people, which I do have, praise God, in my life who are within my safety support system, within my safety plan. People that I know, okay, if I'm in a certain type of mood, a certain type of way, I need to reach out to this person. I need to reach out to that person. And I spoke about support and how important it is, but the truth is I struggle with allowing myself to be supported, and I need to be okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be okay with allowing myself to be supported.
I'm right there with you.
Because, girl.
I'm right there with you. I want to say that's a Virgo thing, but I don't want to, like, put everything on our horoscope, so.
Good. Because if I'm going to allow something that's maybe just bothering me this much to become something that turns into this whole big, it's just like, okay, how can I? So that's where I am. I've been feeling much better and doing much better. And I'm really, really grateful for the people in my life who support me and who have my back and who are there with me through all the shit that I go through. Whether it's minor or it's major, big or small, if it's bothering me, I'm going to talk about it out loud. And that's just it.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with that being taken however people take it. It is, I have to do what is best for me. And I feel like that is what is best for me.
Yeah.
So that's my take on my current mental wellness. What do you want to say, Miss Megan?
I
love this girl.
I love that you talk about having a support plan and like a group of people that you know you can go to at any time and they'll be there to hear you. They'll be there to uplift you and support you. I don't have a formal plan in place, but Dom, Julie, you know, all my friends, they are my group of people where I call them or text them or FaceTime them and I'm like, guys. I think where I struggle with mental wellness is that I am a fiercely independent person, so I struggle with asking for support. And I do struggle, even though I talk to my friends about stuff, I do struggle with a lot of times talking to people about stuff. I hold stuff in. And I deal with it by closing up and dealing with it internally.
I'm the same way. And I was the same way up until, but honestly, this last wall, that this was the lowest I had ever been. And I knew something had to be different. Yeah. In case I ever come to this place again, I need to have a plan in place. Because I'm the same, I'm very independent. I hold things in. I'm like, I'm not bothering people with this shit. Nobody wants to hear this. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the way my brain goes. But I'm like, I can't be in this. I can't be this low again. This is dangerous.
And that's my mentality too. And I'm going to use the last, probably the last thing that really got me at a low point was my breakup with my most recent ex. I was in a very, very, very low place because of that, because it was just unexpected. It was just, I mean, breakups suck. Point blank. Breakups suck. And, you know, that I think was the first breakup where I actually talked about it with people and worked through it by being around people instead of just like sitting there and being sad and being like, oh, what was me? And really giving into those feelings and those insecurities and those doubts about myself.
Because it's not that you don't feel those things, right?
Right.
But I think that there's power in getting them out, like through conversation and through interaction. It goes back to what we were talking about with energy, right? Mm-hmm. It's moving that energy from being inside of you to out of you.
Yeah.
So you're literally working through all of those emotions. Yeah. It's not that I'm not sad. It's not that I don't feel the same way about breaking up with my ex or anything like that. Yeah. It's that being in other people's company, I'm talking about it, and I have the ability to move that energy.
Yeah.
So it's not just sitting inside of me and being becoming bigger and bigger. For me, it was like literally just trying to push down and push down. And you're not pushing it down, sis. You're just making it bigger. You're like,
what's the phrase that I have? What you resist persists.
That's it.
That's my phrase. What you resist persists.
That's it. And thank you, Scotty. Thank you so much, love.
And what, going back to your point about how we all have more in common than we think, what I learned with this last breakup and really handling it in a different way was that feeling the way I felt about that breakup and feeling, you know, being all in my feels is everybody goes through that. And it's not a burden for me to talk about it because everybody can relate and everybody has a story similar to that, and they're able to give you advice or they're able to comfort you and they want to listen to you because they love you and care about you. And that, I think, I'm going to try not to cry now. I think.
No.
We're good.
We made it an hour and 20 minutes with no tears.
We got this. Okay. I'm
if
good.
If you cry, it's fine.
I'm good.
It's a safe space.
I'm good. Liz, I did more makeup than I normally do, so
she did my makeup.
We will not be crying.
You guys see me? Let me let them see me again. They might not see me. Oh, you see? She got me. She got me right.
Same. Got the got the sculpting. Keep the
going.
Cheek sculpt.
Keep going with your story.
But, you know, I learned that people do want to listen to you, and they want to sit there with you while you work stuff out because they love you. And they're not going to sit there and tell you, stop crying. Get over this. You don't need to cry about this. Like, people are, you know, you're not a burden to people. And you crying and you feeling your feelings isn't a burden. It's people want to be there with you because they can relate to that. And
one of my friends, again, back to my friend Marianne, she reminded me that I'm worthy of that support. The same way you would support one of your friends, you deserve that support.
Yeah.
So just allow it to exist in your life. The same way if one of your friends called you, you wouldn't feel like they were burdening you. You would just allow yourself or be a friend to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think what you're saying is absolutely right. And more people can relate. And even if they haven't been through it, they can relate to what it feels like to be hurt or what it feels like to be. So it's just a matter of us getting out of our own way and removing our pride and just letting the people in our lives who love us love on us when we need it. Because that's really when it matters, right? Everybody can show up when it's a party, when it's a wedding, when it's this, when it's that. Everybody wants to turn up. Everybody wants to pop bottles. Mm-hmm. But when I'm not in the best of places, who, you know, will pick up the phone when I call? Right. And those people, for me, they matter. Because if you want, if you're able or willing to get with me in the trenches, then yes, of course I want you with me when we're, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm having to learn that more people want to get with me in the trenches than I thought. Yes. And that's not just because of pride, but it's also because of not seeing that. Again, it goes back to childhood, not seeing that growing up. And, you know, and it's taken me a long time to realize that not everybody is the same and not everybody is going to gaslight my experiences or, you know,
make you feel like
disregard my feelings
right,
you know, the situations that I go through. That's a lot.
I'm done. I mean, I'm good. I feel like we have definitely had a great conversation. How do you feel?
I feel like this has been a therapy session.
That's what everybody tells me about this podcast. And I think it's so funny. So many people are like, I feel like I'm in therapy with you. I love that. I love it. I love it so much. And if anybody feels like they have gotten anything or been helped as a result of the bullshit that I've been through, then amen. So that's where we're going to end it. If you will, unlock your phone.
Let me.
I'm going to go ahead and hop off of Instagram and we're going to wrap this, but I'm going to play some music and Instagram doesn't like that. So thank you guys so much for watching, listening and everything. All of the like, be sure to follow me on _IamShantae_ on Instagram. You can follow the podcast, Taze.tidbits on Instagram. Megan, tell them your.
So you can follow me at Leggings, Our Pants. It's like Toys R Us. So Leggings, the letter R, Pants. yeah. Or if you want to follow my personal account, it's Megan, MEGHANA. Daves, DAVES.
Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for having me. And thank you to your fans and friends for being so welcoming and so amazing.
They're great. They are awesome. I appreciate them so much. Bye, Instagram.
Bye, guys.
Okay, you guys, we are at the end of episode 10. And if you know me, then you already know that this was coming. So as always, I encourage you guys to love someone today. Reach out to someone that you haven't spoken to. Don't wait. Life is short. Tomorrow is not promised. Hug someone, kiss someone. Say I'm sorry to someone. There's someone in your life who deserves your apology. Apologize to them. Let something go. But most of all, and most importantly, do no harm, but take no shit. Peace.
It feels like, feels like, feels like. And this is what it feels like. And I survive cause a nigga is special first. You get successful, then it gets stressful thirst. Niggas gon' test you, see what your texture's worth. Diamonds and pipes, one of them pressure burst. Street nigga, still I get checks and spurts. I'm for peace, but before I get pressed, I murk. Better days, pray for, but expecting worse. At this level, bullshit, I'm just less concerned. Cruising in the six, looking at the proceeds of rap music on my wrist. Drop another mixtape, my shit booming out this bitch. Young Malcolm, I'm the leader of the movement out this bitch. Look, and this is what it feels like. Reaching level makes you question, is it real life? All the weed good, all the pussy real tight. And the only rule, keep your dollar bills right. This is what it feels like. And this is what it feels like. feels like. And this is what it feels like.
Scorpion bricks, way before Orbeez double disc. 40 on my lap, clap, sound like 40 did the mix. Filtered bass, sip coat, like a Michelin star chef, chef. Kiss to my wrist, I go dummy with my left. IRS on my dick, try to audit all my checks, too late. You know they hate when you become more than they expect. You let them crack or storm your capital, put their feet up on your desk. And yeah, you talking tough to me. I lost all my little respect, I'm selling weed in the open, bringing folks home from the feds. I know the payback gon' be mean. I'm saving all my little bread, pray for me, y'all. One day I'ma have to pay for these thoughts. Real niggas. Is this thing? It ain't safe for me, my dog. They killing niggas in they own hood. That makes sense to you at all? You burnt your bridge to the other side. You know you can't swim across. Y'all know niggas can't swim. They fried Mike after he died. Y'all know niggas can't win. You never land on jokes aside. I arrived on the day Fred Hampton got murdered. Hold up. Assassinated, just to clarify further. What y'all gave birth is the chairman mixed with Jeff Ford. Big step on the jet with my legs crossed. Black stones on my neck. Y'all can't kill Christ. Black Messiah is what I feel like. Shit ain't gon' stop 'cause y'all spill blood. We gon' turn up even more since y'all killed.